are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, hoops heads. It's time for another episode of Locked On Warriors with your host, Aliko Carter. This time I have some guests. I'm in New York traveling, following the Warriors around. And, you know, I got some boys out here in New York, Dave Lather and Moselle Watson, ready to chop it up about the Warriors, about the Celtics, the Knicks. And it's going to be kind of a barbershop mentality going on here. So people are going to be coming in and out, and everybody's welcome to converse. So it should be fun. We're actually in Moselle's establishment. Tell us a little bit about your wine shop.
Pompette Wine Shop. We're located in Harlem, 420 Lenox Avenue, literally 420 Lenox Avenue. Free deliveries, tasting every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're avid Knicks fans. Don't talk to us about the Knicks before February.
Porzingis the god, am I right? All right, so
it depends
on the day. Definitely not last Monday. I was at that Knicks game and against the Cavs, and
he plays soft, man. Pisses me off.
What was soft about? I mean, like, he was going. I mean, LeBron is a strong guy.
He's 7'3", LeBron 6'8".
Yeah,
LeBron should be blocking a shot.
LeBron's also the third greatest basketball player of all time.
I
mean.
He shouldn't have. He never bought a dirt shot.
All right, we got plenty of time to. No, that's true. That's definitely true.
It's just a white European power forwards comparison.
Yeah. Same person.
7-footers, you know, silky smooth strokes. But we got plenty of time to talk about the Knicks, but I want to start with the Golden State Warriors, because this is, of course, a Golden State Warriors podcast, and also, you know, talk about the Boston Celtics, because we got this game coming up tomorrow. Big game, streaks on the line, 13 straight for the Celtics, 7 straight for the Dubs, and they're clashing in Boston. I'm going to be at that game tomorrow, really looking forward to it. But what have you guys seen from both of these teams so far this season? Dave, I'll start with you.
So it seems like the Warriors are really rounding into form now. Mm-hmm. 7 straight double-digit wins. Could have been 15-point wins if not for some garbage time heroics.
Garbage time has been kind to the Warriors this year, but that was some ugly garbage
time. Almost got a little dicey at the end there, but luckily they pulled it out.
That was against the Magic.
Against the Magic, yeah. It does seem, what I've been noticing is that teams are playing hard against the Warriors every game. Of course, we expect that. Mm-hmm. But they're also playing really well against the Warriors. The ball movement is good. Shots are falling. I don't think the Warriors have been playing poorly, by their standards. But they're getting everybody's best game every single game. I mean, you see, now Aaron Gordon, we'll see if this hot streak continues, you know, the rest of the year. But last game, he looked fantastic. The Magic looked fantastic. They're getting everybody's A game. So I still think they're playing at a high level, as the Celtics are as well. But can we cut down on the turnovers a little bit?
Yeah. Those turnovers, 23. Let me pull up the stats from the last game. But 23 turnovers in that game against the 76ers. Not good. Not good at all. But, I'm going to definitely be writing about that in the future.
I'll ask you, Aliko, not to step on your column here, but what do you attribute the turnovers to? Is it kind of blasé attitude towards the regular season? Is it lack of sharpness? Is it trying to be too creative? What do you think's...
Definitely lack of sharpness, definitely blasé attitude, particularly in the first half. They seem to have a switch in the third quarter. They just stop making mistakes. They do things. They just go to warp speed and everything. So now's the point where I give you a noise warning. There's going to be some background noise. We are in New York, so bear with us. Thanks a lot. All right, 16 turnovers in that last game against the Orlando Magic. That was, not exactly. It's still too many.
Yeah,
it's too 100%. Many turnovers.
But you're right about this. The third quarter switch the Warriors have, and it's close. It's close. You know, a lot of let's try to see how close I can thread this pass through two defenders and still get it to the guy. Oh, it's got picked off. Uh oh, that's a turnover. And then all of a sudden, the third quarter comes around. it's been every game this year.
Yeah.
And there's a 20-4 run.
Yeah.
There's a 22-8 run. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the game's over. And this last one, they did it without Steph.
Yeah. Yeah. No Steph. With the thigh contusion.
Yeah.
Now, is there a confirmation? Is he going to play against the Celtics? Or is
I'm pretty sure he's going to play against the Celtics. Yeah. I haven't seen confirmation yet, but I think it's one of those things, like with Kevin Durant a couple of days ago, he had the contusion on his thigh, and Kerr was basically like, yeah, if it was the playoffs, they would be playing, but, you know, it's not. So, you know, just don't want to.
Kerr's been pretty aggressive in the early season with his I'll call it rotational rest.
Yes.
Iguodala got a couple games. Mm-hmm. David West got a game. Mm-hmm. He's been, and I
Sean
wonder.
Livingston.
Sean Livingston. Yeah. I wonder if that's, I would bet that it's something he went into with, in the season saying, I'm going to get people more rest.
Yeah. Well, you know, Andre Iguodala is 34 years old. You know, Sean Livingston is up there as well. David West has obviously been in the league for 15, 16 years. So you got to get those guys rest because they're so, so important. I think that they're going to be integral when the rotation, like if Steve Kerr ever does limit his rotations, those three guys are going to be at the very beginning of, you know, at the very top of the list of who's coming off the bench right away. So they, you know, it's good what Kerr is doing. And
I'll throw this out there for you. I think Nick Young is finding his place. I think Caspi has been fantastic off the bench.
Yeah,
little bit of everything. Drives more than I thought, and I think that's probably about Warrior spacing more than Caspi as a basketball player.
Yeah.
That he has that room, he has that ability to, you know, that space to get to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
But he's effective as a cutter.
Yeah. Oh my God, his cuts are beautiful. And he's so long. He can corral passes that aren't necessarily right on target.
Yeah.
And then of course he spaces the floor. So in the death lineup, when you replace him, when you put him in the death lineup, you can't play off of him. Like teams try to play off of Andre Iguodala, and that usually doesn't work well for them. But with a shooter like Caspi, you're really
he's wet.
Talk about the
so wet.
You talk about the air under his shot, because Caspi's arc is kind of legendary at this point. I mean, he gets some air under that shot, but it goes in more often than not. You know, it's one of those
absolutely.
As we hear the wine glasses and bottles clinking in the background.
Sounds of the wine shop, man.
Having a little glass ourselves, enjoying it, a little wine down.
Caspi is really slow, but all the other Warriors are really fast.
Yeah.
I can't tell.
A little bit of column A. A little bit of column B.
He looks like Ryan Anderson running up and down the court. Terrible.
The Israeli Ryan Anderson.
Oh,
that's,
no.
Also been when we talk about rookies, Jordan Bell has not necessarily exceeded expectations, but he's exactly what we thought we were getting.
Yeah,
which is a great thing to say about a rookie.
Yeah,
so often you see these rookies come in the first 20 games and they look defensively lost, offensively lost, not fitting in, not working well. He's doing exactly what the Warriors hoped for.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. They love what he's bringing to the table, and he's so malleable. He learns on the fly and is just so eager to just be exactly what the coaches need him to be. And I think that's one thing that they love about him coming out of college, coming out of Oregon. He's really a high character guy, and he's just soaking up that NBA experience right now. You can tell he's just like having a really great time. And I think being there with Draymond, who was one of his one of the players he really looked up to as a kid, from back when he was in Michigan State. I think it's been really huge because they do have a level of kind of they're comparable. You know, I think obviously Jordan Bell can jump through the roof, and Draymond can't. But, you know, the way that they play basketball and Bell coming in trying to be more of a facilitator, he can learn a lot from Draymond playing at that 4-5.
And the defensive malleability of both of them, obviously of Draymond, but of Jordan Bell as well, has been, you know, I think there were question marks about what he could do perimeter defensively. I don't see any problems.
No. I don't either. You know, he'll space. Every now and then he'll space.
He's a rookie. But thank God for the cheap Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
selling the Warriors a draft pick. That's just fantastic. Thank you, Chicago.
Yeah.
What a present from the city of Chicago to the city of to the Bay Area.
City of Oakland.
The city of Oakland.
City of Oakland.
Are you from Oakland?
I am from Oakland. Yes.
That's why
I'm a homer. Yeah. I'm a homer through and through. I'm not even gonna try to pretend like I'm not a homer.
A's, Raiders,
A's, Raiders, Warriors. A's, Raiders, Warriors.
Sidebar, Marshawn Lynch, happy with this season?
No, I'm not happy with Marshawn Lynch this season. Are you kidding me? Like, we got one of, we, you know, I mean, obviously, okay, we're not paying him that much money.
No, I can't even tell
him. I actually am very happy with what he is doing in the community. He's got his Fam First Family Foundation, which has been huge in Oakland. He's amazing. He rode the BART train after he got, he was drinking on the train with fans after he got kicked out of the game. It was amazing. But, you know, on the field, I'm going to need him to average, like, 70 yards a game at least, and he's not even close.
No, I mean, shelf life for running backs are 30.
Yeah, but he should be fresh. Right?
Your retirement.
He was working with Skittles in Ireland.
Yeah.
Marshawn in Ireland was.
Not to mention, he's got, he's north of 30 now, so, you know, like you said, shelf life. But the O line has not been opening up anything,
right,
as
right.
I try not to curse. But anyway, so back to hoops. What have you guys seen from the Celtics so far? I got to watch them recently, or at the Nets, and they handled business. What
you mean? Yeah, I eat the Nets, but I have New York through them.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Boston. I hate Massachusetts just because.
Yeah, screw them, right?
Completely. But the Celtics, this Celtics, maybe because they have Kyrie. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would win 13 in a row at this point.
Yeah.
Especially losing Gordon Hayward.
Being the number two defensive team, but the number one efficiency-wise, as far as possession.
Yeah.
Then Kyrie being number two in the league at that.
Yeah.
But as far as that category goes, I didn't see that coming.
He's playing defense now.
Yeah.
And
then, which is, could be two things. It could be he actually really play defense, he's just being lazy,
mm-hmm.
or he's just saying, since everybody said I can't play defense, I'm actually going to give an effort, and then, you know, look what happens for him.
Yeah.
I was just saying the day earlier, Brad Stevens, coach of the year, Danny Ainge, GM of the year.
Yeah. GM of the year's got to go to Oklahoma City, right?
No.
Well, we'll wait for the results.
No.
We'll wait for the final results on that one, man.
I don't know.
Oh, so Mo, you're gonna walk back your the Thunder will beat the Warriors in the conference finals pick? No? Okay.
No, it's too early.
Okay.
they match up with you guys perfectly. The problem is Westbrook is scared.
What's he scared of?
He has two legit superstars on his team, and he can't. He's more so thinking, I gotta get you your shots. Opposed to playing. This is my team. If you guys can't play for me, I'm going to run up and down the road.
For sure.
He's more so, I don't want none of them to yell at me. I don't want my girls to be unhappy.
But he's a reigning MVP. I mean, you really think that...
This was last year.
Yeah, so he's the reigning MVP. Like, that means on the totem pole, he's higher than both of those guys.
That only matters to announcers and fans. Once the season starts, it's clean slate all over again. Whatever you did last year was last year.
Yeah, I mean, but what he did last year was, I mean, when Kevin Durant came to the Warriors, he came to the Warriors after Stephen Curry hit 400 three-pointers.
Yes.
400 three-pointers. So these guys are coming to his team after he averaged a triple-double.
Right, but to him, he's thinking, all right, I got to get you guys rolling. So let me give you a couple of shots.
Russell Westbrook would never think that way. That's not Russell Westbrook.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I want George to leave. I know we got Melo for the next 2-3 years. Yeah. George, I don't want you to leave. So, yeah, you take 22 shots.
Yeah.
And I'll take 22 shots.
Not to get too...
You take 22 shots.
Not to get too far away from the Celtics. What do we make of Steph Curry's career low 3-point percentage this year?
He always starts the season slow and then picks it up January, February, especially after the All-Star break. He gets closer to 49-50%, and then it brings his overall percentage closer to 43-44.
Okay.
That's usually what happens.
So we're relaxed about that?
I'm relaxed about it because the threat is still there. Are you going to leave Steph Curry open?
Nope. Iggy, yeah, but not Steph. And there's this great tool that soccer analysts use called the heat map, mm-hmm. right? And it reflects where players are on the field at any time.
Yeah.
Right. I would love to see a heat map of defenses against Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'd love to see it in numerical, positional forms. Like, okay, against the Kings, the small forward from the Mavericks is up on the small forward from the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
But against the Warriors, he's 3 yards over towards Steph Curry.
Right.
I'd love to see that. Yeah.
I believe Steph Curry's over it.
All right, tell me about that.
Let's hear that.
He's probably the greatest 3-point shooter in NBA history. But then that's it.
I mean, that's something.
Controversial opinion alert.
Yeah. So, I mean, Reggie Miller was great too, but.
Okay.
Not on the same level.
No. Is not. You can't compare Steph to Reggie.
He's not an elite finisher around the basket.
Yes, he is.
He is. No. Absolutely.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
Look at the stats.
This.
He wasn't, but now he is.
He's improved.
It also is the fact that the game is now.
So he's playing the game what the game is, right, man. Like, what? So
he, I mean,
don't hate the player, hate the game. But
well, I mean, the game is it has become about what Stephen Curry does, and now every team is trying to duplicate that.
Best player on a championship winning team?
Yes.
The first one.
He wasn't the best player.
Wow, that's insane, man.
He was Finals MVP because he held LeBron to a triple.
He hit a few
big shots.
Yeah.
Numbers for Steph in that series. Steph had averaged 26.
He doesn't average 10 assists. He's not the point guard on that team. Draymond Green.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I'm not trying to say that he's a point guard. He's just a great.
Don't care about those designations.
If I had to name, I'm gonna name. He's not here. Since he's labeled as a point guard,
mm-hmm.
He is maybe, because as I think about this list before I say it, he keeps trying. He's the fifth out of the top 5 best point guards of all.
Okay, so who is it? John Wall?
James Harden?
Westbrook.
I'll put Westbrook as the best point guard.
Okay.
Kyrie.
Uh-huh.
Wall.
Uh-huh.
Paul Curry.
So Kyrie Irving is better than Stephen Curry.
John Wall is better than Stephen Curry?
Kyrie's better because he's a better defender.
Ooh.
Kyrie's a better defender.
Ooh.
That's a big statement, Mo. That's a big statement, Mo. That's a big statement, man.
There's 5 Warriors.
Oh.
And there's 1 Warrior who's a turnstile.
Nah.
Oh, there was a Cav who was a turnstile too.
And now 20 games.
still turns out. He still is letting people go through.
All right. Real quick, I gotta promote myself and then do my call to action.
Yeah.
So if you want to read my work, go to BleacherReport.com and Forbes.com and search Aliko Carter. I'll be right there. If your company is interested in reaching men between the ages of 18 and 44, you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you're trying to reach men between 18 and 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com to find out.
It's like a...
Single
women should be blowing up.
Yeah, it's definitely a male-dominated world these podcasts. But okay, so Kyrie, John Wall,
Russ.
So what is it? What is it about Curry?
So you say he's a
turnstile.
If I was building a team, mm-hmm. and you start with the first position point guard, mm-hmm. I don't believe Curry's a leader. He doesn't galvanize the troops. And I never thought I would use the word galvanizing
Congrats, Mo.
Yeah.
You know? Growing, learning.
He doesn't galvanize the troops.
Kyrie galvanizes the troops?
In Boston, I would say so. Yes. This year.
20 games.
28.
Not even. 15 games.
Yeah.
15 games.
I got 15 examples of it. He galvanizes the troops. He's not an assist first point guard. He's a take a shot. Shot first point guard. Yeah. He's a good bad shooter. A lot of his shots are bad shots.
No shot for Steph Curry is a bad shot. There's literally no shot that's a bad shot.
If he's pulling up from 40 feet.
Still a good shot.
And he
still
misses, that's a bad shot.
Still a good shot for Steph Curry, man.
He's only good
at It's not a good shot.
Nah, wrong. That's wrong. Nah.
But from 40 feet, he's 40%. So, like, why... Like,
I'd rather have Steph Curry shooting from 40 feet than Zaza shooting from eight feet.
If we're going to... Well, Steph has two championships, but we take that one when Kyrie wasn't there. Mm-hmm. That championship, Steph, versus the Kyrie that won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Better numbers, Kyrie.
Yeah, I think Steph definitely has to prove himself in a final series, and he hasn't done that yet.
He has two rings and he hasn't done it yet.
Last season he was pretty good. He just happened to be playing next to Kevin Durant, who was a little better.
Kevin Durant's playing on the... Max Kevin Durant, Stephen A. says, the Warriors may be in the finals without Kevin Durant. Like, they just may be in the finals. Without Kevin Durant, just put no teams to beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing. If you start the team with Kevin Durant and you put Stephen Curry on that team, the same thing's going to happen.
Replace Curry with Irvin. The Warriors. It's a better team.
No, wrong.
Oh,
that's not even mess. No, 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 no.
Moving the ball around?
Mark Jackson,
Steve
Kerr, son.
Mark Jackson.
Come on.
He installed that first.
No.
No, he did not. No. Wrong.
He got mad at D'Antoni and fired him from Phoenix because he weren't winning, and then he copied that.
Mark Jackson.
Then he saw Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson's offense. I watched every game. Mark Jackson's offense
was
garbage.
Can I ask you, as Warrior fans, the real reasons why you guys fired Mark Jackson was because he was preaching on the corner.
The reason why the Warriors fired Mark Jackson is because he created a toxic atmosphere.
By preaching on the corner.
No, not by preaching on the corner. It wasn't about his proselytizing. It was about him closing off the locker room from other team officials and media and making it like us against them when like the media is not against you, bro. Like, you know, it's not really about that. And then the reality is that he took them from good to great, but he would not be able to take them from great to championship.
You don't think so?
No, for sure not. The difference between the Steve Kerr Warriors and the Mark Jackson Warriors, I call so
he was the right coach at the right time.
Yeah, he did. He laid the foundations, right?
Drafted.
Late? No, he didn't draft.
He didn't draft what? Stephen Curry. He didn't do any drafting whatsoever. So
he's not the GM. He was the coach.
Clear.
He was
a coach.
So,
yeah.
Like, we talk about, in history, we talk about archaic periods, which is the rise of an empire, the classical period, which is the flowering of an empire, and then decline, right?
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to Warriors decline yet, but Mark Jackson was the archaic period of Clay, Draymond.
Draymond didn't make it into the starting lineup.
One season he was on the team, you know. But Steph and Clay, a little bit of Bogut. Draymond was there. But these are the foundations, the defensive principles that Mark Jackson installed were instilled, were very helpful, extremely important.
And not only that, but he empowered Stephen Curry to become his truest
Stephenist.
Hey, look, Stephen Curry put in a lot of work, a lot of rehab to get to that point. And, you know, I mean, for religious people, I just feel like there's got to be a, you know, God rewards those who reward themselves mentality, you know? Like, it takes a lot of work to come back from three ankle surgeries, you know?
Because he was a turnstile.
Well, he's not a turnstile anymore.
He knows where to be.
I think he's a turnstile.
He knows where to be on the court.
You gotta watch these games with me, man.
Man, let's. We're gonna watch Warriors games now. We're gonna go to your place, play FIFA, wait till 10:30. Warriors come on. Now we're gonna watch the Warriors, and we're gonna watch these games because Steph Curry knows where to be defensively. He tries. And hold on. No, but that's half the battle, really. Like a lot of times people don't. He tries, and he knows where to be. He's smart about it, and he's also super, super crafty. He gets weird steals that shouldn't happen, but somehow appear out of nowhere. That's an instinct play. That's a, you know, that's not a learned play.
Yeah.
That's a, whoa, where did that come from play?
Right. Preternatural.
Preternatural. There you go. I'm gonna transition a little bit here, but Jason Tatum last night made a couple of plays that were on that. What I'm saying,
he's talking about Jason Tatum of the Nets playing
the Celtics
playing against the Nets. Yeah,
Jason Tatum. I'm calling it right now. 10-time All-Star.
He made
basketball plays. Well, maybe not 10 years from now. I don't know. Maybe when Porzingis is and Frankie Ntilikina are taking up roster spots.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum made the same. They made natural basketball plays. He had a right-handed reverse layup where he went up and under shot blocker's arm that I thought there's no way you make that play unless you are a true basketball player.
Yeah.
Unless you just are an innate basketball player.
Yeah.
Do you guys think the Celtics win this game?
I think there's a good chance the Celtics win this game.
Yeah. I give them a chance.
I think, you know, I haven't looked at the spread or anything like that, but, you know, 50-50.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's 50-50 when there's has to be one outcome.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, Dubs coming in on the road. They've got 3 days of rest, but they're on the road in Boston, tough atmosphere. You know, you got to give the Celtics a chance.
Boston's crowd's going to be up for it.
Yes.
They're going to be pumped. They're going to be ready for it. But it's the Warriors. It's the Warriors.
Yeah. It's the Warriors.
It's the Warriors. And Steph coming back.
I'll go on record right now, I'll say
the Warriors are going to win this game.
All right.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah. So,
I'll do it right now.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are going to win this game. But
they're in Boston, though.
No? They're in Boston. Yes,
everybody's playing.
Yes, Stephen Curry will also be playing. The two-time MVP will also be playing.
I'm going to go on record right now. The Warriors are winning this game. That's it. Warriors are winning this game. Because of Steve Nash. Where did that come from?
The MVP won the trash. They stole it from Kobe one
year. Yeah, and then Kobe stole it from LeBron. The 2008, that was LeBron. LeBron should have won that award.
That was a lifetime achievement.
They gave it to Kobe because of the lifetime achievement. Yeah.
And just like this year, LeBron's going to get the lifetime achievement award.
You think LeBron's going to get the lifetime? No, they're going to give it to it's Giannis, man.
This is the last year.
It's the year of Giannis.
Giannis is 22.
You see what Giannis is doing now?
Unbelievable. Okay. No, we shouldn't be doing it. Come on, man. Take it down a notch.
He's 22. All right. Okay, so let's...
Soccer, since 12, and now I'm a professional at 18, I'm a beast.
And I'm 6'11".
Wow.
And with I got a 7 foot.
Yeah, 7'5", I think. Yeah.
My coach, Jason Kidd, was telling me to just go.
He is fantastic. He has been absolutely wonderful.
Let's talk about another unicorn. Let's talk about Chris Stapps. Let's talk about.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Whoa.
He's
a soft unicorn. Aren't all unicorns soft?
He's got the bastard in him, man.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. I think he does.
Him and Bede, they got the bastard in him. Giannis has got the bastard in him too.
Watch that Cavs game.
He wouldn't play in the post. He'd be shooting threes outside just like Dirk did 15 years ago. But no.
There's that tough New York 20
years ago. Yeah, that's New York basketball, man. Dang.
The unicorn is too soft.
It's very soft.
Nah, wrong, man.
Pushing him a little bit.
No more.
Yeah, because he's just getting wide open alley oops from Frankie Smokes and throwing down one-handed. Overrated, man. He's a rookie that played 20 games.
Frankie Smokes is like a pretty dope nickname, though, right?
That's light. Heavy.
Porzingis,
a good one. Porzingis a good one. Yeah. That's 30 points a game is not tough enough. Yeah.
30 points a game.
It's
22 shots tonight.
Yeah, it's 100%.
You like that bygone era of basketball back when you could hand check people and
I don't know why they need to put hand check back because they took it out. LeBron's gonna play another 7 days.
Oh no, exactly.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with seeing LeBron
play until he's 40.
Which is why I think LeBron's coming to the Knicks. It should be
something. LeBron,
if he leaves the Cavs, because he's not going to the West, it's too difficult to get to the finals.
In 3 years, he's gonna change his name to LeBron James Malone. That's what he's going to be, Karl Malone.
Except he's going to be taking the finals with him wherever he goes.
That's long season.
He'll be a power forward, rebounding.
And running down court.
Yeah.
What he did to the Wizards was just rebounding, running down.
That was a fantastic performance. That was
he can
memorable.
Do that whenever he wants.
Memorable performance. But he's a team player, man.
Well, yeah, because he's also something. LeBron is something.
Okay.
The toughest I've seen LeBron play. He went into. You
don't need
LeBron himself.
You're getting all New York
LeBron,
on me.
LeBron is God.
There we go. Who's this?
Nice kicks, man.
Thank you, man. LeBron is strong, man.
Introduce yourself. You're on a podcast, right?
This is German from Harlem.
Word. Nice jacket, German.
Thank you, man.
Fly.
All right. Yeah, Knicks fan. All right, that's cool, man. You guys are trying this year. But what isn't strong about LeBron, man?
He's physically strong.
Physically.
He's trash.
I would say mentally he's
wrong. For him to be an elite superstar.
To say mentally he's trash and be a leader at the same time is like.
When the game's on the line. Okay. He's the last person you want on the free throw line because he's gonna miss those. He's gonna miss those free throws.
Yeah. I would look up the percentages on that.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all did?
No, we did not.
Okay, yeah. I would definitely look up the percentages. Yeah, because on the free throw line, I would say he's.
No. Most talking nonsense right now. Talking nonsense. Man.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's missing free throws, man.
They were up by 3.
Dwight Howard is missing free throws.
Dwight Howard is soft. First quarter.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard,
I feel that he's a leader. He's, I mean,
leader, but he's just mentally weak for years.
I disagree, man.
I feel he's mentally so. And this is from when he played in Cleveland with Eric Snow
and
Larry Hughes.
He had the Iverson team, dude. He had like Theo Radcliffe, fucking Eric Snow, and you go into the championships, bro.
Mo Williams was the second best player.
Mo Williams, bro. Yeah.
He's not physically gifted. He's not. arguably the best player. But when it comes down to this is your shot, LeBron. We need you to make it. He's going to say, okay, cool. Oh, he's open over there. That's what he did. He did it in an all-star game.
I think it's part of being a leader, though. It's, you know, it's passing.
So Jordan does it, and he's... unselfish.
He's saying Jordan passes to Kerr and he's a hero, but LeBron passes to whomever.
And he's soft.
It's not passing. This is that. Jordan passes to his goal. LeBron will be driving on someone and pass because he's open.
I personally like when LeBron takes over a game. But
how often does that happen?
It happened against the Knicks the other night.
You just called it. You just
facts.
Because
facts. He dropped 50. Wait, didn't he drop 50-something?
Yeah, 57.
He dropped 57, bro. 57 the other night, man.
But at the beginning, it was
for
not being the Cavs in the
playoffs.
But in the
finals, oh, why are they not being the Cavs? LeGod James, man.
In the finals,
the microphone can't handle when we get too much.
In the finals, he's not taking over no props.
What?
Crazy.
Last year he did.
I mean, it's like,
how did they win a championship in Cleveland?
Kyrie Irving.
I don't know.
It's like insane.
Come on, bro.
Kyrie Irving.
You're just being contrarian.
Yeah. I think that's what's going on.
Because LeBron was a supporting cast.
LeBron, wait, so LeBron was...
He averaged a triple-double.
Oh, right. It's like every game.
Like, you're talking nonsense, Mo.
No, he shouldn't. Nobody should average a triple-double.
Come on, bro. So Carmelo Anthony's better than LeBron then, right?
Offensively.
Yeah, Curry and Mo.
I'm not talking Carmelo's better than LeBron.
Bro. No.
We're giving some of them New York takes.
This is live from New York Knicks.
Carmelo, bro.
No,
I'm waiting for the John Starks.
And he's so much weaker. He's so much weaker mentally, everything.
He's the best scorer.
John Starks, better scorer than LeBron. Anthony Mason, better scorer than LeBron.
This year has been pretty good though. This year has been. The rookies that came on this year, they're nice. The guy from Sixers who came back this year.
Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. But and Boston is gonna be a fucking problem when
We'll bleep that one out or just let one F-bomb go. Still PG-13, you know? Still PG-13.
Boston? Oh, man, I like Boston right now. I like them a lot. When old boy comes back from injury?
Not this year. I don't think he played this year.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
No. Yeah, I seen him on the sideline playing around. Like,
yeah.
Nah.
His prognosis is not...
No, really?
He's lucky he still has a foot.
But considering this is a Warriors podcast, you just walked into a Golden State Warriors podcast.
Oh, I didn't. I love the Golden State.
Yeah.
They're an amazing team.
So,
I mean, LeBron is still God, but... Golden State.
So they're playing Boston tomorrow. They got at 76ers on Saturday and then at the Nets on Sunday. Should be an exciting three-game slate. And what are you guys seeing from this team? 7 games in a row by double digits.
They're supposed to win 7.
Yeah, they are. They're supposed to go to the finals. So we're not going to celebrate them because they're doing excellence, but we expected them to be excellent. But the Celtics are doing excellence, and we didn't expect them to be excellent. So.
I know. A lot of people stepped up. A lot. I'd like to see him beat Golden State, actually.
Tatum's been fantastic.
Slide down.
Oh, my God. Okay. Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum. All right. We got our two man crushes.
Jalen Brown's been great. Point Horford.
Point Horford.
Point Horford.
Point Horford has been incredible as well.
Yeah.
And then Tommy Heinsohn's man crush, Aaron Baines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, Aaron Baines. He's the crushinator out there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 2014, Aaron Baines, NBA champion. How about that? You know what else, though? JaVale McGee, NBA champion. Are we winning? I'm not talking about that. Pat McCaw, NBA champion. Good for him.
So do you call Golden State going to the championship again?
Of course I call that. Like, what else am I gonna call?
Huh? Yeah, it's gonna be them in Cleveland.
It's gonna be them in Cleveland.
Yeah.
4 years in a row. Unprecedented. It's gonna be big. Absolutely glorious.
So who from the East?
Mo has he has the OKC.
OKC? Oh, why? Because Melo's on there now. Just like a nickname. Yeah, but Paul George is nice.
Post George, there's no one that can guard George on the Warriors, in my opinion. For it to be efficient, you put Draymond on him, then Melo's gonna eat.
It's insane.
Westbrook's gonna eat. If you Patterson's gonna eat, so it calls it.
Well, who do you have coming off the bench, though, is the question. Though.
It's a team game, man.
Ruben Patterson.
Yeah, I just think the Warriors
are too. Ruben Patterson, you've been to New York.
Patterson is coming off the bench. And I just believe the Thunder they have the wrong coach.
That's a pretty big problem.
He doesn't have an offensive scheme. It's just like ISO, and then figure it out. Who they need is Mark Jackson.
That's like Westbrook and Melo's game, though. Like that's what they're built on.
And on that note, I think we got to call this podcast a day,
guys.
This has been Locked On Warriors. Thanks for coming through.
Definitely, guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining in on our round table barbershop situation out here. And I'll catch you tomorrow. All right.